a gun.
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Welcome, hidey-ho neighbors, rednecks, militiamen, kinfolk, people from across the fruited plain and around the world that listen to Stronghold Radio. We're here and I just swallowed a bug. Hang on. Wow, not the first time that's happened. Let me get a drink of water here. And it probably won't be the last. That's what happens when you do a show from a stronghold hidden up in the mountains. It is the 15th of June, 2011. It's a Wednesday, which means it is Bible study day. So we're probably only going to be doing 1 hour unless I get caught up in the stories or something breaks or somebody calls in. Phone number to call in, as always. And strangely enough, we don't get a lot of calls. I get a lot of emails after the show, which is kind of funny. But call in, 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. I've been spending the day outside today. Well, welcome everyone, first of all, to a militant Christian separatist radio show with definite Confederate leanings. States' rights are definitely in the forefront. No king but King Jesus. I don't have the same intro every day. I used to have an intro written out. I thought that sounded canned and kind of corny. So I always forget. We're coming to you right now live, like I said, from the southern entrance of Sequoia National Park in Tulare County, California, in the little hamlet of Kaweah. And we here share this community with a place called Three Rivers, which is funny because there's actually four rivers, but they call it Three Rivers. And we're here in Central California, and we are a stronghold for liberty, justice, and individual rights, states' rights, those types of things. And we do it every day when we can, Monday through Friday, barring equipment failures, power outages, satellite downages, outages, and all that stuff. Stacy just said, I thought you were going to stay in the house, Stacy, where it was nice and cool.
It's not very cool.
You're sweating right now coming up here. So we're having a heat wave, which is normal for this time of year. We're in the high 90s right now. And
it's cooler in here.
Is it cooler in here right now? I thought it was pretty nice when we came inside. She means in the house. Yeah, but we got our trying to get our cooler working today. Our swamp cooler, you know, our evaporative cooler, more technically, because we don't live in a swamp. We live in the foothills.
Last summer, it was so cold.
I remember it being better. We have a burned up water pump. We have a float regulator that's broken. So I just I redneck engineered it, and I just hooked a hose directly to the feed that dampens the filters. And I don't know if it's just not getting enough water on it or what, but it's just it's not working to the level that it was. But they tell us next week it's going to drop back down to the 70s, so I'll have time maybe to make some money and get the parts. It's going to be about $30 for a pump for that. And I burned the pump up. I left it turned on. And actually, I turned it off. It overflowed. And then when I turned it back on, the so-called submersible pump was submersed beyond its legal limit, and it sparked and made the house smell funny. Everybody's saying, what is that smell? And I, ever since my stroke, I've lost some sense of taste and smell. So I was like, I don't know. It smells, I don't know, maybe stale water. I don't know. But so we turned it off, checked it out, and the pump was burned out. So we're making it work. We worked in the garden today. I went out there with a pickaxe and a hoe and a shovel, and Lou brought in dirt from the stream bed, It's got all kinds of mussels and, you know, plant matter, real good soil. I broke up the soil that was in the garden, roughed it up. Stacy hosed it off. Anthea helped hoe it, and we put a little picket, a little white wire fence around it, and we planted some cucumbers. We put in like 5 cucumber plants. We need to do a lot more, of course, but it's just been hard for us to get on the ball with that. But we got to start growing our own food with all the madness going around. And one of the reasons why I kind of got motivated to do this today is I don't know if you guys have been watching Nebraska, what's been going on there with the Missouri River. In fact, let's see if I can find the article here. They're in Omaha, Nebraska. There's a nuclear power plant. Let's see. Where is it here? Yeah, here we go. Alert at Fort Calhoun, Nebraska nuclear power plant. Now, a few days ago, the Missouri River rose and surrounded the nuclear power plant at Fort Calhoun. They've got a levee all the way around it, but it's designed for flash flooding. And they also had a fire broke out. Now, the nuclear power plant has not been operating for some time. We'll get into the article here. But they had an electrical fire, so they're unable to maintain the cooling for the storage facility for the rod. Sound familiar? And so they've called out a Class 4 alert, which is pretty high, a Level 4 emergency, and they're trying to make sure that those levees will hold because they were not designed for sustained flooding. They were designed for flash flooding the last couple weeks maybe. It's not even a flash flood. But what's ended up happening is sustained weight on them and seepage. And if that water flushes in there, it's going to get into the cooling ponds, which has radioactive water in them. And that radioactive material will be spread about the farm fields, everything south of Fort Calhoun, Nebraska. Now, it's as of this morning, they're at a level 4 emergency, and the National Guard's out, and they're asking for federal help. But on June 6, 2011, the Fort Calhoun pressurized water nuclear reactor 20 miles north of Omaha, Nebraska, entered emergency status due to an imminent flooding from the Missouri River. A day later, there was an electrical fire requiring plant evacuation. Then on June 8, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission event reports confirmed the fire resulted in the loss of cooling to the reactor's spent fuel pool. Now, the discussion includes specific details of the technical failure at Fort Calhoun, the risk of coolant loss at overcrowded spent fuel pools, and the national hazards of nuclear facilities along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers, because you've got to remember this whole area is flooding right now, and other water sites during the current period of floods and the climate change. Now, they've got videos here to play, but we can't play videos, but I'm just telling you that if you're in that area, there's something going on and it's not in the major news. I talked to the pastor. I talked to a couple other people. The reason we heard about it is about midnight last night. I think it was midnight. They were talking about it on Coast to Coast. And then the Power Hour with Riley, I can't remember her first name. She does a shortwave show and stuff. And she was on there talking about it. But Fort Calhoun near Omaha, Nebraska. Now realize that. If that water gets out and all that radioactivity settles in the farm fields, They're not gonna let them grow there. It's gonna just the fallout from this, no pun intended, will be devastating to our farming community. Joyce Riley, thank you very much. I see freedom. So I'm thinking of radium and all that other stuff. Plus, they're saying that all this flooding is damaging the Gulf of Mexico also. Kind of unrelated, kind of related, but all that radioactive stuff's going to go out into the Gulf of Mexico. They've already got these dead zones out there the size of some of the Great Lakes because of the huge amount of plant matter, fertilizers, and all the chemicals coming off the fields are killing the Gulf of Mexico. And it's the worst ever because they've controlled the river. They've channelized it. It's no longer a delta. They've dredged and dredged and dredged the Mississippi River so that it is deeper and it will run in a single channel that it shoots out to the Gulf of Mexico hundreds of miles with sediment. So it's going to be scary to see the results of this. And they're not talking about it. I haven't heard anything on the radio about it other than going, you know, the benefit of going to local sites. Local news in Nebraska is the only way I've found it. And again, you know, another way that they cover up and it gets scary. And I'm trying to see here. Nobody else is talking about it. Yeah, I can't find any more updates on it. And but it's unusual that they wouldn't be exploiting this for martial law or something. But the weird thing, listen to this. They're saying that the Missouri River and the Mississippi River may stay at flood stage for up to 5 months. 5 months, all that property underwater. to save the cities, they have to do that. They have to blow the levees and flood the communities around them. And these nuclear plants, of course, are going to be at risk all up and down the Mississippi and Missouri River flows. And so if you're in that area, you might want to start checking into it and seeing if this is true, or if this is just weird little buzz stories that don't have much to do with reality, or if, in fact, you are in some kind of danger. Let me get back here to this, to other stuff that I've been posting. Man, this heat. I forgot about how hot it gets here. Let's move. Let's make sure we go to somewhere cold. Not Alaska. I don't want to get frozen in. Here's a neat little thing. I found out about a town in New York that during the War of Federal Aggression went with the South and never came back. In 1861, the town voted to secede by a wide margin. Now, New York town that seceded, this is in the state of New York. Anyone who's dabbled in history knows of the draft riots in New York City and of the potential of the city seceding from the Union, not to join the South, but rather to become neutral, leaving it able to deal with trade with both warring sides. This is not the case in all of New York. The town in question is sometimes known as Two Rod. The real name is Town Line, New York. It is located on the boundary between Lancaster and Alden, of which the name came from. Primarily, it is a German community and rested on the northern edge of Lancaster, which was a strong Democratic area, lodged between two strong Republican areas. In 1861, many of the southern states left the Union and joined the Confederate States of America, including Town Line. The townsfolk voted in the early summer of 1861 to leave the Union, and by a wide margin, 84-40, seceded from the Union. It was rumored that many of the men in the town had left to join the Confederacy. Documents show that 12 out of 100 males of enlisting age did serve with the Confederacy. There were only 100 souls over the age of 21 still left in town. The reasons are unclear, but an article in the Buffalo, New York newspaper in 1945 cite discontent with President Lincoln's treatment of Confederate soldiers at a POW camp in Elmira, an interest in self-rule, or perhaps an incident by some runaway slaves at a local Underground Railroad stop. It was also reported that Town Line sent 5 men through the Union lines to fight for the Confederate States under General Robert E. Lee. Other reasons stated that they were unhappy with being forced to comply with President Lincoln's request for 75,000 men and refused to comply, God bless them, being that most of their German community had recently left the old country because of strife, and being a farming community, they were troubled. There were a number of men who did join the Union Army, about a dozen or so out of the entire town. There were always traitors. By 1864, most of the residents who seceded in town were being badly harassed, terrorized as it was described, and packed up the plantation and their homes and moved to a settlement in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. When the War of Federal Aggression ended, things went somewhat back to normal. Just a few returning families that lived in the returned to the area that lived there. It wasn't until it was brought up into the 1920s from the town advisors in Alden that Town Line was not paying taxes and was still technically out of the Union, but nothing was done about it. Isn't that great? In 1920s, they found out, hey, we're still in a state of secession, and they haven't been paying county, state, or federal taxes. It came up again in the 1930s and again in 1945. Now, the town had formed a special committee to do something about it, and this special committee chairman even wrote President Truman about their problem. President Truman gave them some advice. Why don't you run down the fattest calf in Erie County, barbecue it, and serve it up with fixins and sort out your problem? They voted in December 1945, and the vote failed again to rejoin the Union. But on January 26, 1946, the persons living in Town Line, New York, officially rejoined the Union. Aww. They made Town Line, New York, the last stronghold of the Confederacy. Get that. Do you understand what I'm saying here? January 26, 1946 was the last town, and it was in New York, Town Line, New York. You should see their fire badge. On their fire badge, it shows the American and Confederate flag for Town Line Fire Department. Surrendered back and gave it. Now, the town made national news at that time and held a party to celebrate their rejoining and had several Hollywood types come out, including Cesar Romero, They spelt it wrong. Rum era. The Joker, among others. Today, the residents can still find reminiscence of secession around. The large fire hall on Broadway Road, Route 20, has a unique patch that they wear on their arm that reads, Last of the Rebels, 1861-1946, Townline, New York, Fire Department. And their patch, their fire equipment, has a saying over their department logo that states, Rebel Rescue, on their shoulder patch. The desk where the signing of secession and rejoining still exists at the Alden Historical Society. They may have not left the Union for the same reasons as the other as southern states, that being states' rights, but they did believe in town rights and held out longer than any other state or former Confederate community. So let's visit Echoes Through Time Civil War Museum and Learning Center located in Eastern Hills, Williamsville, New York. I think that's just an amazing story of what can be done, and it's a shame they came back in. Can you imagine how things would be better now for them if they weren't part of this whole, you know, Obongo conspiracy and all the garbage that's going on in the Union? And they could just say, oh, wait, no, none of this applies to us because in 1861 we seceded. We're not part of your Union. And people laugh at that, but that's exactly what we're trying to do here. We are trying to establish ourselves as an independent governing, self-governing entity here that has nothing to do with the corrupt Union. And people who say that it can't be done, 1946. I just wish it hadn't been such a joke that made them come back in. And it's, I find it really sad. I'm going to post this article in the, can we post URLs now, Lou, or could you make it so I couldn't? I'm going to post this in the chat room if I can get to it. Ooh, people are saying there's a lot of lag. Oh, he's in Salt Lake City. There's always lag in Salt Lake City. It's just the nature of the beast there. Huh? It's all the Mormons sucking up the bandwidth on purpose. And that's what they're doing there. So that little town, a town line. I like Two Rods. They should call it Two Rods. I don't know why they called it that, but that's an interesting. So do a little research. See what happens when you pop around and you research stuff and you see what's out there in history and the precedent that is set. That's what's cool about always researching this stuff. And you never know. One thing leads to another. You discover these different things, and you hear about different things, and you go down them, and you find more information. And information is key because knowledge is key. Things are heating up in Sudan again. The northern Sudanese, the Muslims, are attacking the southern Sudanese again. But yet all the news articles are not mentioning that it's a Muslim-Christian battle. That infuriates me. They're just saying northern tribes versus southern tribes. They're not saying that the Chinese and the Russians are arming the northern Muslim hordes that are coming in, that's what it's all about. So keep an eye out for that. I want to know if anything pops up on the news. Send me links. Send me articles. They're just saying that several people are being killed when they cross the river, which is part of the border, and the Muslims attack everybody. See, I've talked about that. I've talked about this. Here's a good one. Let's see, where's this? I don't want to talk about that. We got kids in the car. Where's this? Oh, I just lost it. Dang it. I hate it when the screen jumps around. Let's see. More guns, less crime. Here's a great website. John R. Lott. That's John R. as in Romeo. LOTT.blogspot.com. And it's more guns, less crime. And they're talking about, I guess, the 49th state, something like Indiana or somebody just came in, and they're going to, you know, 49 states now with much petitioning and fees are CCW. You know, I think only Illinois is the only state now that doesn't allow at least some process. Now, I'm not talking about municipalities, you know, like San Francisco won't give them and stuff. But as states, they allow you to do it. Oh, and I have an update on our open carry law. I forgot the number of it. Anybody remember the number? It was voted on by the Senate. They passed it, but now it's in appropriations. Now, the state level is different. Now they have to pay for the law to be enforced, so there's still some hope. There's some lawsuits pending, things like that. So John R. Lott, More Guns, Less Crime, came up with a study showing that those states that are allowing concealed carry, allowing more and more people, I mean, it's in the millions now nationwide, are allowing people to carry, their crime rates are going down. There's even a case, and Stacy was laughing about it, and they talked about it last night on the radio that we were listening to, where this guy broke into a house, and he found out that the guy in the house was a gun owner. So the burglar locked himself in the bathroom and called 911 for help. I love that story.
I still want to know what happened to that.
Yeah, I'd like to know what happened to the guy in the bathroom.
Yeah, or the homeowner.
Probably nothing, you know. They probably came and rescued the guy. Depends on what state it is. If it was California, they probably arrested the homeowner for kidnapping.
Probably.
let's see. Do you think that some business support Obama because he gives out so much government money? Fred Schultz, John Farrell, and Jeremy Borden at Politico sure do. Telecom executive Donald H. Christopher. Let's see, what's this one here? It's a wrong story. Good headline, wrong story. It's got the wrong story here. What I wanted to talk to you about, where is it here? Let's see. Oh, Wisconsin is close to becoming the 49th state. That's what it was. 49th state to allow concealed carry.
Oh.
So let's see. What's happening is the UN treaty to disarm everyone, the stories with Mexico, it's all coming together because Obongo is working under the radar, as he's told the people from the Brady family and the Brady Bill folks. They want to reinstitute the assault weapons ban. They want nationwide registration for all firearms. They want a surrendering of those firearms they deem militaristic. And so this More Guns, Less Crime comes out and kind of, not just that, but John Lott's website is showing that how, if anybody says, they're not coming after your guns, they are still coming after your guns, and they're still trying to destroy you and your right to self-defense from tyranny. It's not just about shooting the crackhead who comes around once in a while. That's not what the Second Amendment's about. And if you get nothing else from this show, you've got to realize that. It's not about sport hunting. It's not about shooting aluminum cans, Olympic competition. It's not about hunting. It's not about defending your home. The Second Amendment is about keeping tyrants from stealing your freedom. Always has been and always will be. Just like in 1984, they redefined the language and redefined the law so many times. Even well-meaning patriots get screwed up in this and go, oh, we won a big victory. We have the right to shoot aluminum cans and defend ourselves in our homes. No, you should be allowed to walk the streets with whatever weapon you see fit to let the government know that they need to stay in check. Militias of today are to be armed with the latest military weapons as they were in 1775. In fact, the militia had better weapons than the Brown Bess that was carried by the British invaders. Do you understand that? If you don't, bang your head on the table now. I'm going to wait.
Okay,
everybody that doesn't understand that, I hope you banged your head on the table. The Second Amendment is not about hunting. It's not about the NRA. It's not about shooting clays. It's not about shooting quail. It's not about having a gun in case some crackhead comes into your house. Those things are given and don't need to be outlined by the Constitution. It's about killing tyrants. It's about keeping tyrants scared. It's about tyrannicide, the biblical doctrine of tyrannicide. That's what the Second Amendment is all about. And every time we get all giddy and say, ooh, they're going to allow people to have handguns in San Francisco now, in their homes or businesses. No, you should be able to walk the streets, dress like Rambo if you want. Now, that's an extreme, and I don't know why anybody would do that. But you should be allowed, like our Puritan forefathers, our separatist forefathers, on the way to church with their blunderbusses, not because they were hoping to get a turkey, but because it was their God-given right. The Constitution is a piece of paper. It's not a GD piece of paper like George Bush said. The real rights come from God, and we have a right and a duty to self-preservation and protection. So that has nothing to do with what the Second Amendment is for. The Second Amendment was specifically put there to keep the other parts of the Constitution from being taken away. And actually, they're not taken away. They're given away. Every time we lose a right in this country, it's not taken from us. We willfully give it because we refuse to stand up and fight for it. So when people say, oh, government taking away my right to have a shotgun in my truck, I'm like, no, you gave it away. Just like people say, well, we're going to lose the right to open carry in California. I said, I'm not. I'm still going to open carry around around where I am. Period. If we allow tyrants to take our rights, we're giving them away. It's an agreement. It's an unwritten contract where you're saying, hey, yeah, I'll let you do it. That's like saying if you own a store and you do nothing to stop the shoplifters, and you just let them come in and grab your merchandise and run out, you don't lock your store, you don't even have a door, you just let people come in and take whatever they want, you're not a victim, you're a willing participant in the demise of your own business. And I don't understand why so-called Americans don't understand that. How they wallow in their own stupidity and fatness and just go, oh, dang government taking away my rights. Or, they're taking my jobs. No, you're giving them away. They're forcing me to inoculate my kid to go to public school. No, you're allowing your child to be inoculated so he can go to public school so you don't have to take the time to self-educate him. That's what it's all about. It's about surrendering rights. So the Second Amendment is key. The First Amendment is key. When they set up these anti-First Amendment things and people go, hey, that's not fair, I can't do this, I can't do that, they've taken my First Amendment. No, you've surrendered it. When you obey unrighteous decrees, you are participating in your own slavery. That's just the way it goes. It's like that town we just talked about. They willingly re-entered the Union under a state of slavery. I was talking to some rednecks today online, and they're all like, oh, the southern states are occupied, you know, Confederacy. They're not the United States. And I'm like, well, do something about it. Don't sit there and whine generation after generation. Get involved and secede again. Like I always talk about here, it's about separation. It's about saying, we're not playing your game. And you can't have our ball. We're keeping our ball. We're going to keep playing the game. And you're the one that has to leave. I'm not taking my ball and going home. We're going to continue doing what we're doing. And we're not going to let you participate in it. Just like here with the water. If these gutless farmers who hire Jewish lawyers to go do their bidding for them, rather than be cowards that they are, would sneak out there in the middle of the night, cut those chains and turn that water on, it would force a standoff. It would force the federal government to come out and do something, which would prove that they're wrong. Please stop hitting the microphone. And I hope you understand that. Because until we get that concept in our heads, we're going to continue to be sheep. When we willingly go to the feed trough and take what they're giving us and then complain that they're not feeding us enough, it's because it's our own fault. It's completely our own total fault. And we're going to have a guy on Friday, and I'm going to pump this up a little bit, from Oklahoma. You know, we're always talking about corruption, bad police, and we need to support those guys that stand up. Well, there's a guy out there. I don't have his name in front of me. I got to find it again here. Where did I put this one? Give me a second here. I think this is the story. It was yesterday when we were talking about the guy running up in Montana and Idaho. I got somebody that contacted me because of that and said, you never know what's true in the media. He says, and here's my case. And he gave me a website to go to called saveacab.blogspot.com, I think it was. We have to look here. And it was right around, because remember I was talking about corrupt cops. I was talking about all that stuff yesterday. Here we go. Let me find this guy. And this guy contacted me, and I've spoken with him on the phone. I've traded emails with him. We're going to have him on Friday. He's in Oklahoma. Little town, I think it's called Elk Co. Let's see here. Let me find this guy. I apologize. Computers are running slow. I don't want to say that. Let's see. Where is he here? A lot of stuff. Well, after the break, thanks for the music, Lou. After the break, we're going to come back and talk about this guy and a little bit of back history on him. And we're going to have him on Friday. I just talked with him, and he's willing to be brave and confront not just the local cops, the FBI, county, and state officials. We'll be right back. We are concerned Americans, proud members of the NRA. They're dead in our ranks, defeated in their arms, supporters of the GOP. Sisters of the Second Amendment, saves of defense is a basic right. Hunters and first responders, we keep firearms at our side. Why are law-abiding citizens forced to keep our guns locked away? All it does is make it harder to keep our homes and laws.
up won't save. So tell us why it comes to blame again for the violence in our lives. It's the criminals with their twisted minds. Another gun law will keep them alive. Like porn and love their rifles, for them live free or die. While they protect us all, but we're blind. We'll trust in God but keep our power dry. Should the tide shift against we the people, you can bet this battle hymn will be sung. We'll be unto those who try to confiscate our guns. As written in the Second Amendment, for the security of a free state, a well-regulated militia is needed to keep our country safe. That right can't be infringed upon. Our founders had foreseen when the people fear government, you know it's called tyranny. Progressives, they want to change our country under the guise of making it fair. We know it's all about control. It's just an act when they say they care. Now the warning shots have been fired. The battle has just begun. Through all those secret backdoor deals, they are aiming for our guns. Like orders of the rifles, for them it's live free or die. We're united to defend our freedom. We'll trust in God but keep our powder dry. Should the tide shift against we the people, you can bet this battle hymn will be sung. Oh, beyond those who try to confiscate our guns. This is a faithful quorum. Swears a solemn creed in defense of his great nation. Stand his rival and he. We are all obliged to defend her. A constitution decrees. We will stand as one united against foreign and domestic enemies. Like Poland, Lord.
Crash does come when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest. The last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Here we are, Stronghold Radio, coming to you from Kuya Country. We are the voice of Kuya. The newspaper hates it because they call themselves that. I'm like, how can you be the voice of Kuya if you're print? We're radio. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Thursday night, is Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. I don't know what he's going to talk about. Maybe he'll take questions. Don't know. But we're talking about this guy who called me. His name is Randy Elbert. He's in Elk City, Oklahoma. He has a taxi service. He's been doing it for, I think it's been about 10 years. He started to complain about local impropriety, different things that were going on in his community, and next thing you know, the whole world came down on him. And he's going to... Oh, okay. Thanks, Anthea. Let's see. Someone's calling in. Who do we have calling in?
Hey, it's Rocky, Dutch.
Hello. What do you want to call in about?
Oh, you know what? I thought you just started the subject. You want me to call back at 6?
No.
You want to talk about that first?
We're not going to do a 6 o'clock hour.
Okay. Well, I gave away one of your stickers last night. We're good Christian guys. He's like-minded. I won't divulge any information about who he is or anything, but he told me he's listening to the show. He told me something about the Mormons over. Yeah, the Mormons sucking up all my bandwidth, probably.
Yeah.
But, he said that, he told me that, now get this. Now, in schools and stuff, anywhere else, you take a Bible to school, you get suspended, or you're on the news about that, you know, and all that stuff. Hatred towards Christianity and all that. Up here at Salt Lake, the kids are required, unless they want to lose credits, that from junior high through high school, they have to attend some kind of seminar in a seminar building that's attached or right next door to the school for the Mormon services, for Mormons. If they don't, they lose credits. That sounds so illegal right there.
I wouldn't use the word illegal. It's their school system. It's state. They can do whatever they want. But I know what their purpose is. Their purpose is indoctrination into the Mormon religion, which it wouldn't be illegal,
yeah.
But I would just say it's nefarious. If I would love it if California would require children to use the Bible. I don't like public education. So, I mean, it's like it's a double-edged sword. So I wouldn't use the term illegal. It's up to each state to do what they want.
You're right. You're right for correcting me on that. Yeah, and illegal is the wrong term to use. Yeah, yeah, that's true. But still, I think that's amazing. They can get away with that up here, and nobody says anything, and look what happens everywhere else.
Well, the Mormon lobby is pretty powerful. I mean, look, they got the front runner in the presidential campaign.
Well, I was told, how do you get to have a speed ticket? Just put a Mormon Bible on your dashboard, they'll let you go every time.
I wouldn't trust that, but I wouldn't be surprised either.
They're telling me part of a Bentley family, whatever that is. Is there a Bentley church? Oh, you're gone. You'll go get out of here. A couple of us go every time.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't tell them you were a Baptist or something. They'd probably break your taillights or something.
Yeah, I'd probably be drug off to jail.
Yeah.
Hey, something else, too. I want to read this to the audience and to you. Did you hear about this? About,
I don't know.
The pastors on the buses being forced to fight to the death in Mexico?
Oh, yeah, I did see that Twinkle Toes posted that on, I think it was Rednecks Worldwide. I saw that, that they are pulling them over and making them fight. That's what the mass graves are from. They're doing their own little version of Thunderdome down there in Mexico. It's par for the course.
Yeah. It says here, the cinematic nature of what reporters take on violent and new extremes in Mexico drugs wars for security or scrutiny. Oh, excuse me, hang on. Okay, over the past few weeks, authorities have discovered a number of mass graves in and around San Fernando, not California, in the northern Mexican state of Tampoloas, or Campex, I don't know.
Who knows? It's all vile.
The road between the state capital, Ciudad, or something, I can't pronounce
Ciudad.
Words right. Yeah, Victoria and Brownsville, Texas, runs through San Fernando, and locals now call it either the Highway of Death or the Devil's Road.
There you go.
The highway is often empty now as many bus companies canceled routes after repeated kidnappings from buses hijacked by the Zetas and other cartels. According to Juan's account, local authorities, the kidnapping served as means for recruiting new gang members, but intimidation techniques have gotten out of hand. It would be more for amusement, Peter Hanna, a retired FBI officer who investigated Mexican drug cartels, told the Chronicle. I don't see it as intimidation or a successful way to recruit people, he added. The stuff you would not think possible a few years ago is now commonplace. It used to be...
It's probably gladiator fighting for gambling or just like you said, for amusement.
Yeah. It used to be you'll find dead bodies in drones with acid. Now there are beheadings.
Yeah.
To corroborate Juan's story, Schuyler points to Borderland Beat, a blog run by a former law enforcement officer. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
In the Southwest United States, who published a more detailed account of the death battles in April. We talked to the blog's founder, Alexander Martinez, who explained that a writer sent him the story, which had been published on the blog in Spanish, and Martinez, transmitted and republished it on the Borderland Beat. After the post got some pickup on the internet, Martinez added that, as editors know, to this point we have not been able to confirm its fidelity. But it doesn't surprise me this is happening.
Yeah.
We publish it for information purposes and for you to format your conclusions. It's easy to really see why some readers might find this story unbelievable, though this is what it says. With that, he ordered several of his men, I guess this is what the cartels were doing, of several of his men who were sitting inside their SUV to bring sledgehammers, and the men gave sledgehammers to each man. Okay, listen up. I can't say that.
Yeah.
People. The trick is this. We are going to pair you in twos, and you are going to mess each other up with the sledgehammers. And the one who survives will join us in our work, and you get to live.
Mm-hmm.
While the one who does not survive, well, you're dead.
Yeah, it's barbaric.
He said sarcastically, yeah. Making his men laugh out loud. They're barbarians.
I have no doubt in my military Christian mind that this is going on in Mexico. And it's condoned by...
Oh, yeah.
They probably learned it from CIA handlers, because that's probably how the CIA's been doing it around the world. How do you think they get the toughest and the meanest little henchmen? I have no doubt this is real.
Yeah. Oh, no, not at all. The original report is written like fiction. Victims from bus kidnappings, many of whom are illegal immigrants passing through Mexico to the United States, have reported being rescued from gang members. But there's no indication that the post author was one of them.
Yeah. Oh, what's weird about this is that this stuff's, I mean, it's just an arbitrary border now. There really isn't a border. This stuff is going to come over into America. They're going to come up here and snatch people down there for it. And the difference is that most of the peons down there in Mexico don't carry weapons. You know, all those hundreds of thousands of weapons that the ATF is sending south are not going to regular folks. Are not going to farmers and shopkeepers. They're going to the thugs that they're creating their own little secret army down there to use against us when the day comes. So it's a prime example. I don't know if it could happen here because there's just too many rednecks with guns that if they tried it. But in those communities, in those socialist communities where people have willingly given up their guns, I hope they're listening to this because this is the kind of thing that awaits you. In those, you know, sanctuary cities, you know, that are also cities that don't allow firearms, they're going to fill your neighborhoods with drug cartel members, and then you're going to be doing this. Heck of a way to get a job, isn't it? You're in a waiting room, there's one job, six applicants, you have to bash each other in the brains with sledgehammers.
Yeah. But who's going to pick the oranges today?
Yeah.
the game they're being told to play, I didn't see it written on this. It might have been. I might have missed it. And the game was called Who's Going to Be the Next Hitman?
Yeah. America's Next Hitman, you know. And
Mexico's next hit, the cartel's next hitman.
Yeah. Well, you know, those things, Thunderdome, you know, a movie, you know, what imitates what?
Yeah.
You know, art or society. So I saw that today, and I was going to talk about that, but I was going to save it. But no, I'm glad you called in about that. Yeah, because Twinkle Toes posted it somewhere else I was at, and I go, hey, I know who that is.
I did that. I was on her account this morning, so I did that. I'm the one who posted it up there.
She was
still asleep. But I wanted to bring it up, though, definitely call you, because I know that's a big one right there.
No, that's a good thing. That's something to be watching. That's not going to be covered in the major news. So,
it doesn't have to be busload of people. It can be just a family going down the road in a minivan out on vacation.
All you people that are vacationing in Mexico, all you missionaries that say, oh, we've got to go to Mexico and help, all of you people that are exploiting the Mexican economy with your corporations down there, this could be your families. This could be your children. Could you imagine, you know, a family of like, you know, five people getting pulled out and they say, okay, husband and wife, fight it out or we kill your kids. And the sickness of evil. That's why you know it's evil, because only evil men would come up with these kind of things. These are not sane people doing this.
There's some husbands out there, unfortunately, that are looking at this as a perfect way to get divorced.
You know there's some husbands driving away. You know, I mean, there was that one guy who went to Mexico and then murdered his wife and stuck her in a septic tank, reported her missing, and said it must just be drug violence. It turns out he did it. So, you get somebody killed, you can go down there. So,
it's
scary, ugly stuff. Well, thanks for calling in, Rocky.
Definitely. I'll keep you informed of anything new.
Are you going to be here this weekend for training?
I was just going to say prayers for that because I might. She'll be there, but I might have to work this way here.
We're trying to get you.
So everybody say prayers so that Rocky can make it up there.
Okay, we understand.
All right.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
You got this. Bye-bye.
Our truck driving buddy that I mentioned yesterday. Let's see if I can turn it off. There we go. Yeah, scary, scary, scary stuff going on there in Mexico. And no, that's fine. The way the format of the show works, you just call in, and we'll put you on, and we'll let you talk. And unless it's something really stupid, I won't hang up on you. So we're going to have on Friday for at least an hour, maybe more, because the story is so hard to tell. Randy Albert from Elk City, Oklahoma. Now, you got to remember that this county that he's in over there, in 1981... what was his name? The guy who does the rest of the story, the radio announcer. Forgot his name off the top of my head because that's the way my head works now. Paul Harvey said that if you want to go somewhere and murder somebody and get away with it, go to Oklahoma to this county, Elk City, because it has the most corrupt police department. And trust me, we've been through there. The highway patrol are a bunch of scumbags. That's where we got stopped. Yeah. Western Oklahoma. And what it is that after the Clinton regime, a lot of those folks from Arkansas moved into Oklahoma. And there's a good old boy network there. There's crime, there's drugs, there's murder. There was a police officer there that was hired by a Chicago mob. He did a hit on a nurse. He ran her off the road and tracked her down while she was crawling away from the wreck and shot her. And then, he strangled her. I think he cut her throat or something. And then this witness, if it not had been for this witness, he was driving by when he saw this, and he said, hey, it must have been an auto accident. There's the sheriff right there, sheriff's car right there. He goes home. 2 hours later, he hears the 911 call that there's an accident and they need deputies. And he's like, hey, there was already a deputy there at that location. So it started to unravel, and he got in trouble. Well, our contact here, Randy Albert, has got a taxi company in that town. And it started out when he started complaining about unjust actions by the local officials. It went up to the DA's office in the town, the county DA, the state, and eventually the FBI. And the more this man pointed out corruption, the more it came back on him. People threatened his family. People threatened to burn down his house. And when he reported it, he was arrested and told that he would get a restraining order for trying to defend his family. He calls the FBI, the local FBI guy. They tell him, oh, are you saying that the people in this county are corrupt? They happen to be personal friends of mine. How dare you? He goes, look, you know, I know you may be friends with them, but would you please look into it? And he didn't get any satisfaction, so he calls the next higher up in rank. And when he's talking to the guy, next thing you know, the phone gets picked up, and it's the guy that he was talking about, and it's basically, hey, what are you doing going over my head? You know, I'm not going to help you now. Look what you did, jerk. You know, you're not going to have a friend in this county, that kind of stuff. And he's going to go into this. Randy's going to talk about this. And I posted it in there. It's, what is it, saveacabblogspot.com. Read through it. I've already posted it in there. You'll have to scroll up unless it disappeared. I guess I could post it again. It is just, I can't believe it. Reading it, it sounds like a Hollywood script coming out of Elk City. People being arrested with hundreds of pounds of drugs. They get to court, and there's only a few pounds of drugs, and it disappears. What happened to all the drugs while the cops are reselling it? And it's going on. And they call it the Cocaine Highway, Cocaine Cowboys, that whole area in there. I think it's the Interstate 40 that goes through that area. And it's funny because, you know, he started telling me a story, and I'm like, well, I've heard other people tell me this stuff too. So it's – and this guy's fighting it. You know, he's had his vehicles taken. He's had all kinds of undue regulation heaved upon his business. They accused him of assisting with drug smuggling and delivery. And even though he was like, hey, it wasn't me, you know, it's these other people. And it's it's going to be an amazing story. I mean, I think it's going to get a lot of people mad at us. But I want you people to listen to what he has to say. I'll let you judge from what he says. Back it up. He's had to go out of state to get a private investigator to help him. Nobody in law enforcement will help him. Talk about abuse of authority. Talk about corruption of the highest order. And when I found out that it connects back to the Clintons, I'm like, well, no wonder. You know, I always wonder what happened to all those Clinton operatives. They don't just go away. They're still out there. They're still making people's lives a living H-E double hockey sticks, right? And we've got to make sure that this stuff gets out. So I just posted in there. It's saveacab.blogspot.com. Saveacab.blogspot.com. You've got to check this out. You've got to check this story out. And we'll do it Friday, as long as it takes. It's a long read when he built his – and that's what I like about him, too. He just doesn't come to me and say, hey, man, now to get me. He built his case on this blog spot. Shows how it started out as something little, and it moved up and moved up and moved up until now they're just out to get him. And I think that we'll be doing him a great service if he can – get this story out there. And I know we're a very small outlet. I'm not, you know, I have no delusions of grandeur. I know it's a handful of people that listen daily. But the people that pick us up, Indiana Freedom Talk Radio, Liberty Tree Radio, Scotty up there in New York, all the other places that pick us up and put it out, hopefully it'll get out. And then that way, if anything happens to this guy, it's like the Lane Lawless story, you know, with Shauna Ford. The more she does, the more they come after. This guy's phones have been co-opted. He tries to get cell phones, and they're all messed up. It just, and to hear him tell it, it's just amazing. And he has a credibility in his voice. This isn't somebody, you know, we've had people on here before. What was that commander general of the Swami Navy or whatever? True Sons of Liberty. I mean, every time that guy talked, you're just like, yeah, there's something going on here. And I finally banned him from the show. But this guy, and as long with like with the story of Shauna Ford, I think there's truth in it. And even if you don't agree with what's going on, you may say, well, this guy just sounds like he's causing a lot of trouble. It's good that we get this out. Sit around the campfire. Whirlin, you're late. We've only got a few minutes left in the show because it's Wednesday, but thank you. And I'm glad that you sent a care package. Thank you. We got a phone call, or I call. I got a phone call this morning, early this morning, from Minuteman. He's going to his stronghold in the nether regions of the country, so he won't be able to listen because where he's at, he doesn't have internet access. And he had told me that he had mailed in a $25 donation. So we appreciate the care packages, donations. We're barely going to be able to pay the internet again this month. And with the cooling costs in this place, the electric bill is going to be a lot higher. I keep telling you guys it's about $500 a month to make it grow. It's about $300 a month to sustain it. And if you look at that donation thing there, not a whole lot of donations, folks. And I know it's tough. I know it's tough. But $10 here, $20 there is all we're asking. If we got everybody who listened to just send $5, we'd be okay every month. Just $5. We'd probably be doing really well. If we got everybody that listened that one month when we had 10,000 hits, woo! Can you imagine if everybody sent $1? We wouldn't have to ask for donations the rest of the year. But I know you're out there, and I know you're struggling. I know this depression is hard on all of us. But if we're going to keep doing this, we need you guys to keep kicking it in. We're zero broke today. We have no money, and here it is. What did I say it was? The month is half over, and we're dead broke. We just went around town putting up flyers. Two guys, weed eating service, $25 an hour. Big and small, we whack it all. Oh, who's here? Hey, we got somebody here. Hello, who's on the phone?
Hey, Dutch, it's me.
Who's me?
Larry Wick.
Oh, Larry Wick, we're live on the air. That's why I was confused. You sound different through my headphones.
Oh, no. Well, I don't want to call you. I'll call back at a later time. But all balls well on the radio in that radio land. And and I look forward to coming back to visit you guys again soon.
We're talking about it always. So, we're doing a refresher class on Sunday for everybody that participated so we can make sure we don't lose the skills.
Absolutely good. Well, what I'm looking for is on a future date, if you start looking at it, when you want us back again so we can start scheduling that in.
Okay.
And so we don't block it off because we definitely want to come back and see you guys again.
Well, we're having a church meeting tonight. I will bring it up and let everybody know.
All right. Just find a date. Take your time. Like I said, we'll be in Vegas on the 21st, 22nd, 23rd for the Super Show. But yes. After that, Just let us know, okay?
Will do, sir. I appreciate you keeping in contact.
Care.
Thank you. You too, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.
You never know who's going to call the Stronghold Radio Network, the Larry Wick, Lou's new replacement for Chuck Norris. So, Lou, you should see Lou over here. He's all smiling and all happy. I bet you wish you'd have pushed the button. I bet you'd have wished you'd have pushed that button to put him on the air. In fact, let me turn the phone down. In fact, I should always keep the phone up a little bit because I didn't hear it ringing. I just happened to look down and went, hey, somebody's calling. Oh, where were we? I forgot where we were. But Larry's got me all flustered. Oh. Now, a lot of you guys know that I occasionally talk about the Southern California martial law alerts. There are two entities in that, and I'm not going to get into the weird interpersonal things there, but the meetup group one, Southern California martial law alerts, the meetup group, you know how they have the meetup website? My recommendation is you stay away from that. Go to the Facebook page for Southern California Martial Law Alerts. There's some kind of weird infighting thing going on there, and the ones that took over the meetup group, they're suspect. Just that's all I'm going to say. They're suspect. You got to realize that they're spending a lot of money on infiltration right now. They're doing everything they can to bend. Ooh, I just punched the mic. To bend the laws, to get people in to, and they don't even want to go after people that are doing anything illegal. They just want to break up those of us that are doing righteousness. So just take a word of advice there. Just look into it. Go to the Facebook page. Contact the person who's running that. Her name is Kim. I give her my stamp of approval. The other folks, not so much. And if I find out more, I'll let you know. Yeah, we know Kim personally. She comes to trainings here. Hopefully she'll be here this weekend for training. And don't forget, we've got training this weekend. If you can make it here, Worland, get on the bus. Come on down. I looked on the map finally to see where Worland lives.
He's like, wait,
it's like taking your life in your hands going that far. What are you doing? Is there a bug on me or something? Something on me? And it's like, that's way far north. So now I understand why. Because it was like, we drove to Sacramento. I got the map out, and I looked, and hey, look, Chico's even farther north than this. Because we had to go to Sacramento the other day. Yeah, so I understand that. So I won't bug you so much about it. Another thing is promoting the show. You guys cut and paste the DutchJones.info site everywhere you can. If you're on political forums, you're on Craigslist, just promote the show. We've had a lull in listenership here, and I think it's because I haven't had the time because I'm trying out to hustle money to feed my family. So if we all share that burden, if you're going to be on some redneck site, some Confederate site, some New World Order site, and you just cut and paste our website and say, hey, check this out, judge for yourself. The show loops. The archive page is always there for people. So it's really important that you help us promote the show. The more people we get listening, the more people we get donating, the more effect we have. I've got folks that are out there that want to be part of the Christian militia movement, but they can't come here, so they're trying to start it. You heard we got folks in Missouri wanting to be part of it. We got folks all over the country. Well, we need to start making them tune in. Not make them, but invite them to tune in. It's just a dictatorship. If we could get them to tune in and listen and take part and share with us what's going on in their part of the world, I think this whole thing would be a little more successful, and it'll bring the glory of liberty a little, you know, even if it's just 1 hour closer, because we network more. Can't do this stuff alone. Can't do it in a vacuum. Can't be a lone wolf. We've got to work together. And the more we work together, the more we'll be able to isolate and root out the hackers that are coming in from the feds. Self-proclaimed agitators and lunatics. Quite honestly, I think most of these people are just lunatics. I think they're just broken people who like to come in and cause grief, the drama queens. And I have to deal with that stuff all the time. But I think the more people we get, the better chance we have of getting good, quality people involved in the movement. So go out there, spread the word, do your part. Remember to look for us on Facebook. You just type in Stronghold Radio, you can find us. Type in Dutch Jones, you can find me. Type in Stacy's Redneck Husband. You can find us on there, or even Stacy Jones, you'll link to her, and then you can find me, and you can see what we post every day. So this has been Stronghold Radio. We're not going to do a second hour, but what we're going to do is we'll let Anthea say goodbye. Here you go, Anthea, remember.
Good night, everyone, and the sword is heavy and the battle is hard.
And the victory belongs to the Lord. Thank you for listening, and we're off to Bible study in a little bit. So God bless you all.